All right. What are you guys doing tonight? Watching the Super Bowl. You know, when I was a kid, this is nothing against times or churches or pastors, but if you watched the Super Bowl on Sunday night, you weren't thought very highly of. Do you know why that is? Because we had church on Sunday night. And I remember my grandpa Frederick lived right down the street. We'd usually walk to church for a while. We lived across the street from him. We were just on Guile there. And Grandpa Frederick, some of you would remember, drove the church bus for 29 years, was on the church board, regular attender, just a man of God. Didn't always have a lot to say, but almost like a quiet warrior in a way. Remember, he saved my life from a couple of gardener snakes. I just thought, man, that guy fears nothing. He'd run and try to catch him with his hand and throw him in the ditch. And he would miss every service that was Super Bowl night. I'm thinking, as a kid, I'm like, wait a second, I know what Pastor said Sunday morning. Hey, I know there's some temptation, but let's serve God tonight. And I asked Grandpa about that one time, and he just said, in his quiet way, he says, you know, man, I think God understands I still love him. It was just that quiet. Now, we don't have service tonight, so it's not about that, but I'm actually here to preach a message to you, asking you to watch the Super Bowl. I think it's going to change the lives of many for the sake of Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Because there's power in football. Amen? No, that's not it. A couple weeks ago, our Open Bible president, Randall Bach, sent something out to all of Open Bible ministers. Said, hey guys, we have an opportunity that is crazy good, free, nationwide. Please, please, please take a look at this opportunity and push it. And then he sent something else out again. Hey, I'm serious, really, take a look at this. And so what we're doing for this Sunday, we have two more weeks left in our series, but for this Sunday, we're changing it up a bit, and we're going to talk about something that's pretty cool, but it also is going to affect every one of us, whether we watch the Super Bowl or not. There is a heart behind a movement that's going on, and the movement is called He Gets Us. And so if you've watched any TV, you may have seen some commercials. And the commercials, they're talking about the love of Jesus, but doesn't come out and show, you know, some may say, wait a second, it's very vague. Well, the idea is just to get people's interest in Jesus. And so we have the opportunity to be a part of a campaign that's going on. At this point, there's been $100 million put into this campaign, just in advertising and marketing, to get the name of Jesus out there for one purpose, a talking point. And that's where we come in. We all get to be a part of a talking point. Maybe even if we bring up the name of Jesus or after the Super Bowl, we'll explain more throughout all this, but there's going to be some commercials during the Super Bowl, the He Gets Us commercials. And who talks about Super Bowl commercials the day after? Everybody. What was your favorite commercial? There again, talking point. Well, what did that commercial about? It shows a family and this, yeah, Jesus gets us. What's it mean? And so we have the opportunity to take what's in here and just begin to talk about it. And the cool thing is, and what's happened, I think, in our world, is Christianity, we hear this a lot, Christianity from, I would say, probably media and worldwide has been put down a bit. It's been hit the hardest, and there's a reason for that. Why would Satan hit one faith above all others? Is because it's truth. We're created by God. This world was designed miraculously by His power. He had a son. His son did die for us, and on the cross He did raise again. And so we have eternal life through Jesus if we accept Him. That is just truth. And if you look through the Word of God, and if you live by it, all the attributes, how it just blesses your life here on earth is amazing in comparison to living for the world. So that's all truth. But what this campaign is saying is, in all of their studies, more people believe in Jesus and like the guy of Jesus that they hear about than what we realize. And so if the media's been knocking down Christianity, it's hitting us so hard, and you guys are judgmental and you're hypocritical and you don't like homosexuality and anyone that lives together before marriage is a horrible person. I mean, if they want to lay all these things out, what we're finding out is, okay, so a lot of people have issues with Christianity, and they even have issues with church. But a lot of those same people that aren't church attenders really respect this guy named Jesus. And this is all these different studies. This is all over the nation of the United States that has come back. Knowing that, what does that do to you when you hear that? Is anyone, be honest with yourself, if you have an opportunity to share or something comes up and you're on a group of people where you're getting ready to share your faith, does anyone think, oh gosh, should I do it or not? Anybody? Sometimes. And if you think about it, why? If all the truth that we believe, this is the Word of God, this is saving grace, people that are going through life right now struggling, making decisions that are against the Word of God that are affecting them because sin has its consequences and it's a heavy weight. If we have the information to give freedom, why aren't we just from the rooftops talking about Jesus? There's a price. The Old Testament prophets paid the price. The New Testament disciples paid the price. Jesus paid the price. There is a persecution that comes along with sharing the truth. And that persecution sometimes shuts the mouth. But this, it did me well in reading through all of the studies and the marketing to say that we're almost allowing what we think we're hearing, that Christianity is this bad. It's not that we believe it, I don't believe it, but we're almost allowing that to assume that everyone thinks that way. So when we go out into this world, we're just assuming if I mention Jesus, if I mention this power, if I mention a life change and what sin can do, I'm going to be shut down. But that's actually not the truth. There are so many people that really, the little bit I know about this Jesus, he did some pretty awesome things. He loved people that weren't loved. He took the time on his own dime to walk out and just pray for people. I mean, he gave these disciples, they weren't the chosen few, he gave them a chance to walk with him. I mean, this Zacchaeus and the tree thing, I mean, this Jesus has a pretty neat heart. He's a pretty neat guy. And so when we can understand, wait a second, there is some hope, that might allow our minds to step out thinking, hey, this could go well. Now, Jesus is always with us. The power of the Holy Spirit is within you if you ask him into your heart. So you are always empowered when you speak on behalf of God. But our minds can play tricks on us and shut us down. And so the loudest noise right now in Christianity isn't that this Jesus is this wonderful thing. It's that there's all these other religions, and we need to think all outside the box. And so it's veering us, and so we can almost defeat ourselves, although we know the truth. So I'm going to walk through this with you. We're going to start with a Super Bowl ad promo. We're going to have two. They're going to have two commercials through the Super Bowl, and they told me when, I forget, it's, I think it's the first and third quarter, but I'm not sure. And those are going to be He Gets Us commercials. They have a whole other marketing commercial campaign out there that's going on before and after the Super Bowl. But watch this first clip, and we'll go on from there.
When something big is happening, a movement, a moment, a mission that could change the world, you want to be ready. You want to learn everything you can. And right now, something big is happening. He Gets Us is a multi-year national campaign to raise the respect and relevance of Jesus in our culture. It's starting conversations, it's grabbing attention and changing minds. It's all over Twitter, in Times Square, on billboards and in stadiums. And on February 12th, you'll see it on the biggest stage in America. You'll see Jesus in the Super Bowl. The conversation is starting. Are you ready for it?
Super Bowl. So if you listen, it's a multi-year. This isn't just, hey, one and done, we're going to try this. And if they did, praise God. Basically, some very wealthy people that believe in Jesus Christ have put in a tremendous amount of money into this, not even asking for, I don't even know really who they are. They're not asking for that. They simply want the name of Jesus Christ out there. And so they want us to partner with him. And this is what Randall Bach was telling us as pastor to get it out. We have the opportunity to partner with somebody on just getting the name of Jesus out there. So that he gets us, it's making us aware of the opportunity that, hey, nationwide, there's going to be commercials out there that could be posing questions. Let's be prepared to help answer them. Let's be prepared to walk beside these people and give the opportunity to walk them a little bit further into to their faith, maybe even invite them to church. And so that's going to take us getting out of our boxes, because how often is there a campaign? This is the biggest campaign, Christian campaign, in the history of the world as far as where it's reaching and the money that's being put into it. So this is an opportunity for us to join this and just be sharers of the faith. So I want to play this next video. Ed Stetzer has actually been to two of our national conventions. I'm just going to read a little bit on him. He never brags about himself, but there's a lot that this man has done. He says, Ed Stetzer is an author, speaker, researcher, pastor, church planner, and Christian missiologist. Stetzer is the Billy Graham Distinguished Chair of Church, Mission, and Evangelism at Wheaton College and Executive Director of the Billy Graham Center in Wheaton College. His passion and desires when he's been at our national conventions have been to help us as a church understand culture, to get out in it and to affect it. And so he gets us people recognized Ed and said, hey, we want you to push this for us. And so they got him involved. Ed Stetzer got a hold of Randall Bach and said, hey, I want to bring Open Bible into this. And so this is how basically I'm up talking to you about it now. And so I want you to listen to this clip. Ed's just going to share just a little bit about the objectives of the campaign and what they want it to produce.
Is the objectives of the campaign may help us to get a picture of what's going on here. So the objectives of the campaign are for us to raise the respect and relevance of Jesus and to inspire Christians to reflect Jesus' love in their interactions with others. So that's a big part of what we're going to do. And I use the term campaign sometimes, and I use the term movement sometimes, and those are intentionally used interchangeably. But the campaign would be the ads. So think in terms of the ads that are running sort of all over the place. So the campaign, it's the biggest ever. It's research back as a marketing team that put together a lot of these ads and have done extensive research into it. Rooted in Scripture, we want to point people to the Jesus of Scripture. It's funded. And so you won't actually hear, like sometimes when you're talking to pastors or Christian leaders, they're like, so at the end of this, is there like a financial ask? And the answer is actually no. And it's long-term. This is an ongoing resource. So these ads are going to be running everywhere. And so I have the permission from the campaign to reach out to denominations like networks like Open Bible, kind of, you know, gospel-centered, Great Commission Christians, to say, we want to invite you in and your church is in. So Randall and I are inviting Open Bible churches to be a part of where your church would be, drawing people to Jesus, deepening understanding of Jesus, equip your people, and ultimately empower your people as guides and increase engagement as well. So is the objectives of the campaign may help us to get a picture of what's going on here. So the objectives of the campaign are...
Nothing went wrong. That's just how we're doing this. And so what he's getting at, is anyone catching this just yet? If I were to ask one of you to raise your hand and say, Matt, what do you want us to do? Could you answer me? Okay, I'll keep going because I want you to be able to answer me before we get in. Next is, why is this an opportune moment for Christ followers? And it talked about what the research indicates about people's openness to Jesus. So this is kind of my favorite part. Go ahead.
Research. Let me show you some of these fresh insights here that may be helpful for you to take a look at. So if you look at the screen, you might have to make sure you're watching full screen. There are four quartiles, if you will, four segments of Americans. Now, this campaign is a U.S.-focused campaign. And in that, 54% of adults are in the two categories in the middle that we're talking about here. And they're open to some of these spiritual conversations. Now again, 16% of Americans are really just not particularly open, and ads aren't going to persuade them of that. And 30% are pretty engaged, and that's not marketed towards them. So the church members of, you know, so-and-so church and so-and-so town, the active members, this is not geared towards them. But there's this middle part of this where there's spiritually open but maybe skeptical people and cultural Christians who maybe are unsure of their faith. 54% of the American population would be in the category of open to learning more about Jesus. And the issue for them isn't Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand. I know, and you know, that people make Jesus in their own image. We get that. And so people might have a positive perception of Jesus because they've sort of made a version of Jesus that's not the biblical Jesus. But people overwhelmingly agree that Jesus' teachings are beneficial for society. They agree he seeks peace, is approachable, compassionate, loving to all, and acknowledge that maybe there's an openness around some felt needs that, well, we ultimately would like to reach to people. So what we've all heard this before. Whole books have been written on this, that they love Jesus or they're open to Jesus. They like Jesus, but they don't like the church. So we know that. Randall and Open Bible leaders know that. So I think ultimately I want to talk a little bit, Randall, let's just talk a little bit about some of this data and these conclusions, because I think it kind of reminds us that the opportunity that we have is to point people to build a bridge and to reconsider who Jesus is. So Randall, in general, let's talk a little bit about some of these research numbers. What's your first impression when you look at some of the opportunity here?
Well, I tell you, Ed, I'm stunned because I think because we, and I probably have to put myself in this category, we church Christians feel like our American culture has just become so hostile to Christianity. We don't even realize that the culture is actually very open to Jesus, even with your qualifiers. That's an amazing segment. And Jesus is the core of our message. So frankly, this research to me demonstrates a remarkable openness to Jesus and points us to an impressive opportunity.
Just within your own mind, I've had a couple of weeks to think about this, but I'm thinking to myself, okay, Matt, at what point have you kind of, without even realizing it, maybe believed or been affected by what the culture is saying about Christianity? Has that stopped me from really stepping out and faith? Now, it's not a great excuse, even if it has. We're always supposed to step out in our faith. At the same time, we're human. And so ask yourself, has that affected me? If I'm a firm believer in Jesus Christ, look at the circles of life that you're in. Look at the places of influence that you have. It may be schools, work, different places do you go to for hobbies. Are you talking about your faith? If faith is part of our life, not you have to walk out and stand on a table and say, hey, let's talk about Jesus and open your Bible, but in talking about your life and building friendships, is your faith mentioned? If it's that important to us, it should be the center of a lot of what we talk about. Are you giving opportunity? Do you find your heart kind of breaking for people that you see going in a direction that is just very dangerous for them, very wrong? Are you seeing good friends that are parents raising children without God in their life? Does that affect you? Does that bother you? And if it doesn't, I'm not saying, well, it should. Well, actually, it should. But if it doesn't, it's real. Let's take this time, because this whole He Gets Us campaign is about awareness, to make us aware of why we are here, of why God has called us, of what we are supposed to do with this faith that's within our hearts. So like Randall said, and admittedly so struggles with himself, hey, sometimes we get so beat down, we're convinced by all the reports that the world's so bad. All we're saying is, Jesus, come now. Who prays for the rapture every day, you know? Instead of, wait a second, I have the power within me to do something about this. And it's love and grace. It's being Jesus to the people instead of just wanting it all to get over with, because it's just going downhill and we can't see where the uphill is coming. Watch this video. This is just one clip of several commercials that they have that is out that's trying to make people aware of Jesus. And you might notice it doesn't dive in a whole bunch of scripture, but the meaning that comes for this is quite powerful. It's about families.
There was a family. They played together and laughed together. But they weren't completely alike. And as they grew older, their opinions widened, and they distanced from each other. Conversations became heated. Reunions became more and more uncomfortable.
They thought they were meant for each other. Won't thinking of one another.
Brother aligned against sister.
Never thinking just for one second.
Birthdays were ignored, gatherings stopped. Because each had to be right.
We don't want there. Oh no. We don't want there. We don't want there. We don't want
there. There giving an idea instead of this Jesus is just do it this way or going to hell. I mean, there is a heaven, there is a hell. But saying, hey, he gets us. He understands what you're going through. And he's worth following. He has a way. If you can put your focus on him, he's going to walk you through life in a way that's going to change who you are. He gets us. He understands. Instead of you're living this way. I've had some people tell me, man, as soon as I can get my life straightened out, I'm going to get back to church. And you chuckle. And at work, I work with a lot of guys who have a faith in God, but they don't on a weekly basis get fed, or on a daily basis get fed by the Word of God. And so they're in this category of knowing and understanding Jesus and saying they believe in God, but their lives aren't empowered by the Holy Spirit. That grace that's there, that joy, that hope is missing because it's something that's up in here that isn't being lived out within their hearts. And so if we can just get on level with those people and help them understand Jesus through conversation, that's huge. There are so many people just right there that have it here, but it's got to get down to here so they can see a change. And once they see a change in their life, then they want to share that change. At work, it's very interesting when they talked about the percentages. 16% of Americans won't even allow this conversation to happen. And I can think of a few people, but I'm just thinking of an instance that happened last week. I know there's a person in my life that knows exactly how I feel, knows that I'm a pastor, knows all that stuff. But if a conversation goes in that way, it's like two rams, you know. And I understand that. I know that. So what I do is I just live my life in front of this person. When they need help, I need help. Well, I help them. When they have a question, I try and answer it. I just live life in front of them. But to have this conversation isn't going to happen because it reverts and it gets ugly real quick. But then again, 54% that are open. And the 30, see, you had 16 that isn't interested. The 30% he's talking about is really born-again Christians that understand it. But there's 54% in the middle that say, hey, I actually have a faith in this Jesus guy, but it's just some knowledge up here, and they like what they hear, but it's not here yet. So we have what they call this is, I love the way they put it, it's a national conversation. So these ads, this marketing campaign, is allowing for a national conversation about Jesus. So where do you guys come in? Have this conversation about Jesus. Watch the Super Bowl, or even if you don't, can't believe I'm saying this. Watch TV. It's not always good for you. There are going to be commercials. Bring up the commercials. Talk about, and it doesn't have to be with that conversation of trying to get so-and-so saved. To just say, hey, what did you see that commercial, the He Gets Us thing? It was about the family. And some people might say, you know, I saw a part of it. Now, what was that about? Or, yeah, I did see that. And, you know, and just give an opinion about it. It's just talk to them. And that opens up the door to, if you're talking about this Jesus in a positive way, you must have had a positive experience with Jesus. Amen? There you go. Talk about your personal experience. The most powerful discipling tool is your experiences. Because most of the time, unless you go to a street corner and you're talking just to the public, most of the time your conversations are with people who know you. And that means something. That's why relationship is so important. There's people that will come up to me at work when they're going through certain things because they know me. They know my heart. They know how I listen, but they know the core of who I am, and that's Christ. And so they'll seek me out simply to have a conversation about something they're going through. That personal relationship gives you an in. And then you just begin to speak what you know. Some people get so nervous, Oh, well, I don't know the whole Bible. I don't understand, you know, exactly. I mean, where did God come from? Great question. But what people are wanting to know is, a lot of times in my life is, Matt, how do you get through these situations? Who do you lean on? You guys have that story in your own lives. So you simply tell your story. You guys have put that. Oh, thank you. You're ahead of me. So going forward, these are just some bullet points. Recognize we have a unique opportunity to engage in conversations with those around us that point people to Jesus. That's what this whole marketing campaign is about. No one's even asking for accolades or, you know, how much money I've given. They simply are giving their time and effort and finances to pointing people towards Jesus, and we can join in that. People are more open to Jesus than we may have realized. Ask God how He might want us to use your circle of friends, coworkers, families, and neighbors, not just this weekend, but moving forward. So hopefully this kind of a wake-up campaign, in a way, allows us to just take a good look at ourselves and not just a weekend change. Okay, I'll go and watch the Super Bowl and I'll talk about it on Monday. But just help us realize, wait a second, I'm around the majority of people who actually have a faith in this Jesus. They're just struggling how to apply it to their lives. How can I make this just an ongoing thing of conversation? How can this be an awareness in my mind at all times? And then learn more at HeGetsUs.com. And so take a picture, write that down, whatever you want to do, but HeGetsUs.com. There is so much to this, and I'm meeting with my team this week to talk about going forward. There are programs that we can do as a church. There are things that we can sign up for that anyone that shows any interest of this He Gets Us nationwide, they can actually email in. And we as a church can be on a list, like if you say a surrounding area code, where they would say, hey, here is a church that you can get in contact with and give us our address. And there's just a lot of ways where our church can be opened up just to receive people who want to know a little bit more about this Jesus. There's Bible studies, there's a culture videos, there's even, I'm looking at it for one of our next series. They have done all the work and they've mapped it out. If I showed you everything that's gone behind the marketing, even what churches can do in-house, it would blow your mind. Some very bright people that love Jesus have put a tremendous amount of work into this, and we're being asked to partner. And so what I'm asking you is what might seem simple, but just view these commercials. You can even go online if you want to skip the Super Bowl and watch some of the commercials, but view these commercials, bring it up in conversation, and just share Jesus in your own way with people and be a great listener. And let the power of the Holy Spirit do the rest. I want to end on these two scriptures. Listen to Mark chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. It says, Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. Now this was Matthew, the tax collector that was disciple of Jesus. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. So basically, people that were openly living a sinful life and didn't know any better or just didn't care. Some other Bibles or translations say notorious. So they were known for their lifestyle of sin. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? Grab a hold of this. When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. This campaign is based around the very passionate heart of Jesus Christ, that he put himself in the place to speak to people who need to know him, not people who think they know him. And I want to end on this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says this. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. Right there, what do you see? What did Jesus do? Travel. He put himself specifically in a place to minister to people who needed to know about the truth. So although I talk about some of our spheres of influence, there might be times where we have to do a little traveling because God has placed someone on your mind or your hearts. He healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, no one wants to hear, if you walk up to him, say, hey, I want to share Jesus with you because I can tell that you are just confused and helpless. Who wants to hear that? You know, but what you can see is through their lives, as you're listening, you're hearing and seeing the results of sin and the damage that it creates. And some people just go right back out. Maybe it's a damaged relationship, so they go right back out and jump into another damaged relationship. Or it's just horrific, disciplines in life. And so they change from one thing to the other. But listen, they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, this is Jesus speaking, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field. So right now we have the opportunity just to pray and believe, Lord God, as we step out. Our focus, we're human, our focus may be on us and stepping out and starting this conversation and how the conversation is going to go. But think about it this way. When you step out in faith and you go to these people that can be influenced by you, you are now offering an opportunity for the workers to grow, to take care of the harvest. That is our opportunity. We each have that opportunity, and we each are in separate and different areas of life. So this is an opportunity that we can get behind. And all we're asking is for us to share our faith with people. And a good way to jump into it is through this commercial. Hey, you guys watching any commercials, Super Bowl? Yeah. Hey, what was your favorite one? Oh, I like the one where the monkey jumped off the donkey's back and then he herded kitties. I mean, I'm not sure. I think I just said three commercials in one. But the point is, there's going to be some goofy, fun commercials. And I mean, you might be the one that says, did you see that he gets this one about the families or about the parents? Oh, actually, no, I didn't. Man, it was pretty cool. Or, you know, I did. What'd you think about that? I mean, you just had a curiosity. Do you have a faith at all? I mean, next thing you know, it's just, and then walk away. You have to pull up a chair and take a half hour, but just begin a conversation. Because if you're asking questions, a lot of people go right back to you. A lot of conversations have two. They might say, well, what does, are you? Do you go to church? Are you a Christian? And then you have an open door. Keep in mind, everything that we're asking, basically, this campaign isn't the Word of God. This is another opportunity. But everything that we're asking is what we should always be doing. But it's a phenomenal reminder and out of the world opportunity for us to have it at a national level where almost everybody that you're going to talk to somehow is connected like to this game. And from that game, it's like, God, you're a genius. You don't want to give people credit, but you're a genius for just the timing of this campaign. And it's even more exciting to me that it says, for years to come. So these are some committed people who want Jesus to get in the hearts of many. And we have the opportunity to partner with that. So I just want to pray over each and every one of us that as we go forward, that we will be obedient, we will walk in faith, that Jesus will do some amazing things, but we will walk also in a boldness. And like we talked about through this series we're in, may we expect things to happen instead of be all nerved up and worried about it. So Father, right now I just pray. Your word says that your Holy Spirit is within those who have received you. So I pray for every one of us, dear God, that know you, that love you, that have asked us.
Been lied to.
And like Chad said, it's not about the perfection.
True.
You did it for us.
When everyone
it's done.
Wants to tweet their thoughts,
and if we've asked you in
your
heart, we have
that
salvation. But now, man, we have our eyes open to what that salvation really, really means.
That's not the same way I think.
And there is a hope for the lost. So God, right now, I pray over every person in here, every person listening. Do something within our minds and our hearts. Allow us to take this opportunity to spread your love, to spread your joy. Amen. Help us to fight against Satan and the arrows he's going to throw at us, reminding us of what we're not and what we don't know. May we constantly be reminded of who we do know. So God, may we just be very good about caring enough to start a conversation and about telling our own personal story.
Fall asleep to dreams of foam, where the waves are crashing.
Now it's
the only place I've ever known. Now the future has made. See the fire in
your salvation through our faithfulness, through this opportunity of He Gets Us. We pray this in your name alone. Everyone says, amen.